Hello and welcome back to the Gucci Podcast for an episode to celebrate the launch of Gucci Off The Grid, a collection made from recycled, organic, bio-based and sustainably sourced materials. We will hear a compilation of thoughts, reflections and hopes from the five stars of the campaign, all recorded from home. The community of testimonials who have made living more responsibly towards the planet and people part of their everyday lives includes actress and climate activist Jane Fonda, Japanese guitarist, actor and activist Miyavi, rapper, singer-songwriter Lil Nas X, singer and producer King Princess, and finally, David de Rothschild, eco-explorer and environmentalist. First, we hear from Academy Award-winning actress, producer, author, activist and founder of Hashtag Fire Drill Friday, Jane Fonda, who explains her reasons for becoming a climate activist and why it is more important than ever to keep fighting against the climate crisis.
Climate destruction is happening right now, and we're nearing many tipping points. At some point, you know, the oceans may no longer be able to provide us with half the oxygen we need, and the forests may no longer be able to provide the other half. Coastal nations and cities will cease to exist as oceans rise. As ice sheets melt and forests are destroyed and winters grow warmer, new disease-bearing insects and animals and viruses will migrate, and we will lack the wherewithal to survive them. The vast sums being spent to address the economic chaos of the COVID-19 pandemic can be used to create millions of jobs in the clean, sustainable energy sector. But this will take millions of people all over the world demanding that this happen right now. Unanimously, climate scientists are telling us we must cut our fossil fuel emissions by half by 2030. That's in 10 years. And then gradually phase out of fossil fuels altogether by 2050, while ensuring that the workers in communities that have depended on fossil fuels for their livelihoods are trained for and given family-supporting jobs and benefits. We start by talking to our families, our friends, our colleagues about the climate crisis. Learn more about the climate crisis and talk about it. If you don't talk about it, why would you care? And if you don't care, why would you ever act? Then join organizations that are working to stop global warming. And then we must vote for climate candidates who take no money from the fossil fuel industry. And the last question, vote for climate candidates. Demand that your government officials invest in clean energy infrastructure. Global economists agree that it's the top investment we can make, both in terms of climate benefits and having the highest stimulus effect during the time of pandemic when so many jobs need to be created.
Next up is Miyavi. He is a Japanese guitarist, actor, and activist, whose most recent work as an ambassador for UNHCR has seen him travel to refugee camps around the world. He shares what he's learned from his experiences and what lessons he's passing on to his children.
So I had no idea what was going on in the world. I was just, you know, playing the guitar, rocking every night. And my dream was to, you know, to be a rock star. That's it. But, you know, when I did Unbroken, the movie with Angelina as a director, She taught me a lot, and I got inspired by her and also her activity as a special envoy for UNHCR, which is the refugee agency of the United Nations. So as a special envoy, as an activist, she's been supporting, helping the refugees who had to flee their homes and countries due to conflicts and the war. And actually, there was a eye-opening experience when I first visited the refugee camp in Lebanon, which is right next to Syria. That was right after Syria crisis. And then, but still, I had no knowledge or experience about refugee crisis. So I was like, you know, I was really, really scared. And, you know, I was really afraid of being there because I didn't know what to do or what I could do, you know. So I went there with the guitar and then I played the guitar in front of the children. And what I saw was the spark and the brightness in children's eyes. Once I started playing the guitar, they're like, wow, what's this? For us, it's usual thing. It's not special at all. We've been playing the music every night, you know, go to the club, you know, surrounded by the music. But for them, it's a magic. And then that made me realize that the music has the power. And then there's something that we can do with the music. So now I'm an ambassador for the refugee agency, UNHCR. But I play the guitar. And with the guitar, I just realized I can spread the messages or positive vibes to more people. And even people who don't listen to our speech or whatever, they might listen to our music if music is cool, you know. So that's the reason why I became an activist. I mean, and then also we are responsible as an artist, you know, as once you put out your voice to the world with your creation, you know, it's responsible because people listen to it or people feel it. It might change somebody's life. So which means, even if we can't change the world right now, we might be able to change people in a good way, and then we can head out to the, you know, the right path. So that's now what I believe as an artist and also an activist. So what I've learned from migrants and refugees is the strength that they have. They're really strong in to survive, to find a way to survive. So I, you know, the image of refugees people have, I mean, I used to have, is something like burden. It's like heavy. It's kind of, you know, it's dark and heavy. It's actually heavy. The path they've been through is really, really heavy. And it was, you know, it's heavier and harder than we expect because we never experienced, especially in, you know, in our countries. Even to me, when I visited, the experience was, it was eye-opening experience. That was shocking experience, and you know, every day, every single thing that I have seen. So what I learned and what I witnessed, I mean, is, you know, still now, the strength and in their attitude and in their power, especially the kids, they are the power, like the sun. It's, you know, their motivation, you know, how much they want to learn. They want to learn. They want to, you know, be active. They want to know. They want to learn how to write their names. That power is really pure. And then I get the power actually from them, you know, every time I see them, because really, really energetic and straight and pure. So, yeah. And then that's my role, to be a bridge so that people know who they are. You know, they used to have a job. They, you know, some of them are professional musicians, some of them professional, you know, athletes or doctors or teachers. But due to conflict, and unexpected things happened, and they had to leave everything. So it could happen to us. So that's why it's really important to spread the message then say, you know, it's not a local issue, it's a global issue. And then we are facing this crisis all together. So there's somehow ways that we can get involved. We just knowing about it is fine, but I believe there's a way to find a solution. So as a dad of two girls, we do an exercise every morning, you know, so that we feel more physical and active, and also I'm trying to show them what I see in refugee camps. So how hard the life they're having is. And then we feel, you know, so that we can feel that how lucky we are, you know, even clean water. There are people that cannot access to clean water to wash their hands in this crisis, you know, pandemics. So to know what's happening in the world is really, really important, so that we are able to know where we are, and then even consume in little things and simple stuff. So even how we cook, you know, we are trying to be really simple, you know, simplify everything. So, you know, even salt or even oil or those stuff, you know, simplicity is the key, we believe. So every single conversation can be educational. You know, it's not like a preachy stuff, but we are trying to talk to them with every single topic deeply, so that we get to know them. We know, you know, what they feel, what they think, and then so that we understand, we can be on the same page. And then that's also what we should do. You know, we are responsible to do for younger generation to pass on. So now, due to Corona situation, we're all stuck at home, and then, you know, even the economy has almost stopped. And then now we know and how important to keep the economy going. But at the same time, there's a positive effect and a brighter side to the planet. You know, even some places have clearer air so that we can see the mountain from the city, and also some dolphins that come back to the cities in Italy. So I think this is the time to think about our lifestyle, even the economy, you know, the cycle. So, you know, transportation and those like a blood vessel, we need to keep going, but still it has to be sustainable. And then this is the time, it could be the message from above to think about what to do, how we live with this planet. And then this planet is not ours. This is, you know, we are living on this planet, and then we need to give back to this planet. So technically everything should be sustainable, and then in a recycle, even after we die. So from now on, I mean, for next 10 years, I think that's might be the last chance to make everything sustainable for the future, especially for a younger generation. So even the, you know, gear and materials, or even the clothes, I think now is the time to think about what's the right path, what's the right thing to do as a human being. I don't know have the perfect answer, but I do believe, I do feel this is the entrance. This is the timing we start dealing with it seriously. Other than that, we can't survive on this planet, you know, like a dinosaur. So the time and the infrastructure is changing. So more digital, and which is good. I think we should go with the flow, I think. More digital, less physical, you know, less materialistic system. And then now, what we can create, what we can make, what we can leave for the future, the next generation. So that's what we are facing now, I believe.
Rapper Lil Nas X is the third star for Off The Grid. He shares how his experience in the campaign changed the way he thinks about fashion and the environment, as well as the message he wants to spread about protecting nature.
I've seen some eco-friendly fashion in the past, but to see a brand as big and well-respected as Gucci taking a stand and creating these amazing pieces while still being environmentally responsible, it's really inspiring. I believe like the bags are mad nice. I think this pandemic has really made everyone realize that we have to take better care of each other and protect each other by doing the right thing and staying at home. Good things happen when we all work together towards the same goal. I truly believe that. And we can do the same thing with protecting the environment. And I want to do everything that I can to help to shed light on that. I want to spread the message that everyone can do their part and make a difference. The work we do now to protect the earth is going to affect all future generations after us. And, you know, like, this world is so big and beautiful. It's our responsibility to take care of it. Every little bit counts. I believe we can use our voices, our platforms to show our fans how we are doing our part and challenge them to do the same. Also by supporting environmentally friendly companies. Everything from materials used to make merch, not using plastic on tour, and using green products in any way that we can.
Next, we hear from singer King Princess on how she thinks artists can improve environmental education and raise awareness for social responsibility.
I feel motivated to make as much music as possible. I think people need to be satiated artistically during this time. It's my responsibility as an artist to provide that type of love and support to my community, specifically the queers. I think a lot of us are worried about Pride, and Pride is already this massive corporate entity that looms over many of us. And now, since we're all confined to our homes, I'm hoping to bring some sort of non-sponsored virtual Pride celebration to my people. And as far as environmental education, I believe, you know, our education system as a whole fails to provide adequate information to kids about what is actually happening to our planet. I guess that leaves people with some sort of platform to encourage this type of learning. I think that Greta Thunberg is a great example of someone who has both entered the media as a teacher and as an icon. She's extremely important to furthering the conversation. We must hoist up people who are spitting facts about global warming. I know that I'm trying to be a better student and actually listen, take initiative from leaders like Greta. I would say that I'm most obsessed with the use of tampons without plastic applicators. It's a small personal adjustment to be made that actually does a lot of good for this world. All of our discarded plastic applicators end up in the ocean and inevitably in the digestive tracts of sea animals. So I started carrying a metal water bottle because if I'm going to use these sustainable and eco-friendly tampons, I can't just walk around with a plastic water facility in my hand, and it feels like super hypocritical. I think that a lot of this stuff, once you start, feels interconnected. Plastic is plastic, and once you eliminate one use of it in your life, it begins to make sense to take more steps away from plastic in general. Again, I'm very much a student in all of this. I wouldn't consider myself a beacon of eco-friendliness yet, but I'm here to listen to the people who know better than me. Our world is angry at us for being so goddamn selfish, and if we want to keep living, it's time to listen to her.
Finally, eco-explorer David de Rothschild dives into why he became the Lost Explorer and what the aftermath of the pandemic will mean for our interconnectivity.
What inspired me to become the Lost Explorer? I guess there's two parts to the Lost Explorer. The first part being we're all born to explore. And for me, trying to retain that sense of exploration, that sense of curiosity in a world that seems to be so predetermined and predefined. And as soon as someone tells you, don't touch this, don't do that, you know, that sort of curiosity is learned out of us. And so to sort of, I guess, share stubbornness to remain curious and find my own path has always sort of driven me to sort of explore new ideas, new ways of thinking, and really new ways of unlearning. I think that's always been a sort of fundamental principle of being sort of Lost Explorer. And in some ways it was an ode to, the name Lost Explorer was an ode to the fact that we all lose our explorers, and to retain that we need to remain curious and have this sort of curious lifestyle. But I really frame, you know, exploring in the lens of it's not about conquering as it is about understanding, is what I should say. I think adventuring is about conquering and human potential, whereas exploring for me has always been about doing what you can to really discover a new path. And then also the fact that I think for a lot of you know, sort of my exploring, like most explorers, if you are curious about a certain subject or a place, and you often find out what it is when you find out what it isn't. In other words, I think if you go into any situation with too many preconceived ideas about what it means or what it should be or what it is, then you're probably missing a lot of the magic that falls in between those questions. So I guess to sum it up, just being stubbornly curious and always wanting to challenge the status quo and that's the way we've done it mentality that allows us to kind of sometimes slip into mediocrity has always been my drive to keep on pushing and exploring. After this pandemic, I see interconnectivity really being something that we're going to have to work on. I think there's going to be a lot of retraction in society, a lot of fragmentation, hard borders, a lot of fear of others can sink in very quickly. A lot of finger pointing and blame. You know, we could see trade wars. We could see the sort of end of globalization in some way, not from a commerce standpoint, but globalization is a connected community of citizens. And we could see a lot more nationalization and sort of isolation start to arise if we're not careful. And that was something that I could sense anyway was on the horizon. And you can sort of feel it, especially in certain countries where we're seeing sort of that extremist viewpoint. And the reality is that we're all interconnected. My success is your success. My failures are your failures. My openness is your openness. And it's ebbs and flows. And so I think that idea of kind of reconnecting to the web of life and the larger concept of what that means is really vital, because I think we are living on this incredible blue marble that floats in this wondrous black abyss that keeps us alive and gives us everything that we could ever have wanted or need or should need. Our just understanding of how to use it correctly and how to reuse it and how to imagine a more sustainable future is our limiting factor. And so in all of this, I think the idea of the fragility that will arise from how vulnerable we really are for all our modernity and how sort of, sort of superior we might think we are, we're still very much in the food chain. We're still very much part of the web of life. And the resilience of us as a species is totally dependent and interdependent on our consciousness and awareness that we are only as safe and able to survive as every other plant, species, and system. So if we are to degrade those systems that give us clean air and water and food and all the things that we need to live, shelter, then we're going to degrade our ability to live on this planet. And I think that interconnectedness is going to be something that we're going to have to fight for. But hopefully the sort of the humility and the hopefully the sort of some of the habits that have been formed during our time in our rooms, as nature sent us to our rooms to reflect in this reflection period, will help us to find that interconnectivity. That kind of leads into what do we have to do right now to ensure that we keep on being passengers on Spaceship Earth. I think being curious, remaining curious, challenging some of the responses. I think the biggest thing is to recognize that, that while we might be locked down, the world is still going through some monumental shifts when it comes to nature and the environment and our sort of actions that have led us to a place where we've really kind of got ourselves into this very short window of time. There's a very short window of opportunity left to really try and sustain life as we know it, or at least our habits and our systems that we've created for ourselves as we know it. Because ultimately, you can't quarantine from climate change and you can't quarantine from a collapsed natural world. So there is a desperate need to try and recognize that business is unusual, as it were, should remain on the back burner, and we should reimagine, back into that previous question, what it means to live in a more sustainable and healthier way in terms of our relationship to each other and to nature. We've also got to recognize that in times of economic turmoil, there is a lot of self-interest, you know, put first, which is natural. Survival instinct kicks in. But that also means a lot of funding for a lot of small groups and organizations that are on the front line fighting for our very survival to try and create more resilience in the system so that we don't get more of these viruses or we don't get collapse in all the systems around us. They're losing their funding. They're losing their vital sources and resources of support. And I think that is something that we have to consider, that we shouldn't just sort of think, well, let's just dig into the old world systems and support those while we reorganize. We should maybe look a little bit more aggressively at what is needed to be done to support a more sustainable future and maybe expedite that pathway and that transition. And with that comes the creation of jobs, comes the creation of resilience, comes the creation of a more hopefully robust and healthier relationship with the natural world, and in turn supports our ability to live on planet Earth, or spaceship Earth, I should say.
Thank you for listening to these thoughts shared by five of Gucci's off-the-grid campaign collaborators. We heard from climate activist Jane Fonda, guitarist and UNHCR ambassador Miyavi, rapper Lil Nas X, singer King Princess, and eco-explorer David de Rothschild. Find out more about the stars of the campaign and Gucci's commitment to a better, more sustainable future in the episode notes.